The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
We're going to get to the Giants in a bit. But Aaron Rodgers. Well, listen. I like the fact that Rodgers is saying he wants to win the MVP award. He pointed out how Adrian Peterson kind of stole it from him on the last day of the season once, and how he has two and be rarefied heir to win three. I like the fact that he's not mincing words. Yeah, he wants to win the MVP. Said a third MVP would definitely mean a lot. Joining an even more exclusive club than just the two-time MVP. He's 37. Rodgers, when he turned 37, that was what, this month? Earlier this month? Last month? I remember thinking, see, ages 30, 31, 32, 33 are all your early 30s. 34, 5, and 6, middle 30s. And for quarterbacks, you can be in your mid-30s, that's fine. 37, that's the first year of your late 30s. Aaron Rodgers is in his late 30s. Just psychologically, emotionally, it feels different when you hear about a 37-year-old quarterback. And last year, when he was 36, by the way, I did that in my head just now. I knew right away, last year, if he's 37, this year, 1 year ago, he was 36. No pencil and paper, no nothing. The point is, when he was 36, he looked like he was in decline. It was the first year under new head coach Matt LaFleur. And so, look, they won 13 games and a playoff game against Seattle. And Rodgers was good, but he looked like a game manager. He looked like he was in decline. And when a guy with great physical gifts ages, you know, on the one hand, a guy with like a broad range of skills and great physical gifts sometimes ages well. Because they can evolve into the player that other players begin being, right? They have to rely on technique and all these things. They don't, but sometimes they don't age well because they can get away with things. They never have to really learn proper technique. They don't have that same muscle memory because they could rely on their athletic ability. It was unclear to me which group Aaron Rodgers fit in. Would his great ability mean he'd have a longer career because he could evolve into a different kind of quarterback? Or would it mean that having lost half a step maybe, lost a little something off his fastball, he wouldn't be able to fall back on technique to the extent, say, Tom Brady could or Drew Brees could. In fact, he hasn't lost anything on his fastball. Aaron Rodgers showed, no, he's just getting used to a new system with Matt LaFleur. In his second year in the system, we just put up the numbers up on ESPN+, he's balling out of control. After Patrick Mahomes threw those three picks in his last game, still having a great year, but when Mahomes is on the best team in the league and he's having the best statistical season, you can't argue anyone else's MVP. Can't do it. But I've never thought that Mahomes is in his own category and no one else is near him. I always thought Rodgers at his best, Bill James, the godfather, the grandfather of sabermetrics, right? Bill James wrote once comparing Lefty Grove to Sandy Koufax, the two greatest left-handers of all time at the time in the 80s. He said, or he wrote this in the 80s, he said, there's not a dime's worth of difference, but his nickel goes to, and that's what I would say here, there's not a dime's worth of difference between Mahomes and Rodgers at their best. My nickel goes to Mahomes. But I got to admit the truth. At this moment, if I had to give an MVP to someone, well, Aaron Rodgers, what's your definition of MVP?
Well, you know, I think it says most valuable player. A lot of times that player is also the best player, but I think it should kind of live up to what it stands for. It's an acronym, which, you know, Tom has told me it stands for most valuable player. So it's that person who is most valuable to their team, I think. And I feel like that's why I should be in the competition most years, and this year especially.
See, I don't believe that. I think that's total nonsense about value and best being different. You know, value is defined as who's the best. Best, you're the best if you have the most value. Well, what about to your team? You mean to tell me if a guy has worse teammates, then he's more valuable to that team? No, I mean, the whole idea of most valuable is you're trying to isolate value. You're trying to isolate. If you say he makes all these teammates more better than someone else makes their teammates, fine. But I'm not going to penalize Mahomes for having better teammates. Unless... You see, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers is now having the best statistical season of any quarterback. And he is doing it with fewer weapons. his team is not as good as Mahomes. And by the way, so they have a couple more losses than Mahomes' team. But if you had to isolate quarterback play so far this year, his bad game against the Bucs notwithstanding, Aaron Rodgers is having the best season of any quarterback. And because he is the best at this moment, I don't think he's going to win MVP. I think Mahomes will take it back because I think Mahomes is slightly better than Rodgers. But at this moment, if I had to give out an MVP award, has to go to Aaron Rodgers. He has 39 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. When Mahomes was sitting on like 31 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, it's like, I mean, come on, the guy only threw 2 picks. And Rodgers had a bunch of picks in a game against the Bucs, Tom Brady's Bucs, and it was like, ooh, that's a bad game to lose. Because that might be for supremacy in the NFC. But Mahomes just threw 3 picks. So what's he got now? 5 picks and 30, maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns. 39 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Rodgers has more touchdowns, fewer interceptions, a higher completion percentage. Higher completion percentage and a higher QBR by very, very little, but still. And he's doing it not with Ty. I mean, look, Adams is great and Jones can run, all those things. He ain't doing it with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes does have better offensive pieces around him. And yet, so that's when you say, well, it's not that I'm penalizing Mahomes for having better pieces. I'm saying in addition to Rodgers putting up better numbers, in addition to that, he's doing it with inferior pieces. The whole thing about value, people, it's hard to isolate value. So to make their jobs easier, sports writers would start to redefine what it really meant. It's like, well, value doesn't mean you're the best. Oh, yes, it does necessarily by definition. Yeah, yeah. How do you define best in a sport? Right? No, it doesn't mean you're the best because they don't want to do the hard work of isolating value. So they try to turn it into a team award, right? There's already a team award. It's called first place. You know, like you get to go to the team award is you get to go to the playoffs. That's the team award. The MVP is like, okay, now among all the members of the team, who's the best? As in, who has the most value? So far this season, at this moment, the answer is Aaron Rodgers. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. 888-SAY-ESPN. Raj, I'm going to have to take a call early in the show just to show the people that I mean business. That as much as I love the sound of my own voice, I want to talk to, as you so arrogantly refer to them, the commoners. I don't refer to them that way, Raj. I think that's obnoxious. I'm a man of the people, but I think we need to involve them in this show a little bit early in the show.
You mean it this time? Do you mean it? Do you mean it?
Damian Woody's coming up in a matter of moments. Never mind that, Raj. I don't have to answer to you. Damian Woody's coming up in a matter of moments. What do the Saints do here? Here's why I bring it up. You would say, well, you got to rest Breeze for the playoffs, but here's the thing. Saints might be the best team in the NFC. They might be the best balanced team in football. Drew Brees and the Saints have always been a different team at home than on the road because they play in a dome. They play in a climate-controlled situation, not to mention great fans and everything, but in the pandemic, you're not going to have those fans, not most of them. But it's not so much just that they like to play at home in the dome. If the Packers, who are right on their heels, hot on their heels, if the Packers have the best record, then to get through the NFC, it is very likely, or it is a one of the likely scenarios, is that the Saints will have to play at Lambeau Field in winter. You know, like, it's not just like, hey, they benefit from playing in a dome. They don't like to play outside. They go from having the best home field advantage to put them in the worst possible spot they could be in. This is a big game, and the question is, do you rush Drew Brees back? And the man to answer it is Damian Woody, who joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Damian, how you doing, big guy? See your family. We're all doing, the TV shows now on ESPN from our homes because of COVID. And Damian started out in a giant room in his big mansion there in Jersey, wherever you are somewhere, Damian. You look like Scarface in your giant mansion with the columns and the whole thing. And then little by little, you got shoved into a smaller room and then into the corner of a room and then into a closet packed practically because your kids took over the house. Your wife and kids just shoved you into a corner. But then today on TV, I noticed you had a Christmas tree on the background. They let you back in the house. What happened?
I got my permission slip signed. So I got permission to kind of maneuver again, man. So, you know, now it's back to the palatial.
Yeah, you got to see this picture they're using, if you would, on ESPN Plus. This looks like you're like picture day in high school or something. They got a picture of Damian Woody. I don't get it. Damian, so they let you back in the house finally. Did you tell me the truth? Did you put your foot down and say, look, kid, how many kids you got?
Seven.
And they're all home now, right, because of the pandemic?
Yes.
And you got to be loving life to have all your babies. They start to scatter to the winds, and this one goes to Stanford, and this one goes here, and all of a sudden your whole family's back in the same place for the holidays, and it's snowing. You got to be happy about that. Am I right about that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people are trying to get outside now to, you know, have a snow fight and all that type of stuff. So it is pretty cool.
Did you put your foot down about the house? I just, before we talk football, did you finally say, kids, they're making fun of me on TV. I have to be able to, you can't put me in a corner. Did you do it?
Yeah, I had to, man. I'm like, listen, I can't be in a professional setting looking like I'm a hostage.
Yeah.
You know, so, so I had to, I'm like, okay, you know, you got to negotiate sometimes, man. So that's what I did, basically.
If you watch the old Adam West Batman, if you know what I'm talking about, a lot of fathers are like that in big families. They're like Commissioner Gordon. The kids are running around like those Batman villains. And the father's like Commissioner Gordon. You're supposed to be the chief of police, but you have no power to stop them. You got to call in Batmom to get anything done. I think, Damian, you may be in that situation. Okay, do the Saints need to start Drew Brees?
No, listen, coming off of whatever, like 11 broken ribs and a punctured lung or something like that, you just can't risk. You can't risk that. But I will say, I think they do need to start Jameis, though. They need to start Jameis because – Max, you know, in the National Football League, man, the scoring comes via the passing game. You know, it's not one of them days where 3 yards of cloud of dust on the ground running. You got to score via the passing game. And there's no way you can game manage your way into beating the Kansas City Chiefs. You just can't. You can't do it. And I think with Jameis Winston, he's the guy that, I know he gives you, you know, potential to throw – pick sixes and all those type of things, but he's a much more accomplished passer than the other guy. So,
well, look, Jameis led the league in yards. Last year he had 30 interceptions and gave the other team 112 points. But he did lead the league in yards and throw 33 touchdowns. And it's interesting that you say you can't game manage past the Chiefs because intuitively a lot of people think you need to keep the score low. But Casey Joyner, the football scientist, has been on this show many times saying, no, you need a shootout with the Chiefs. And Jameis would, it's almost like a boxer whose game plan just isn't working and the corner man just tells him to keep doing it, but harder. No, double on the jab. And you're thinking to yourself, dude, you're down 9-0. Go tell this dude to go for broke and try to score a knockout. If you're the Saints and you're in a position where you really need to win then against the Chiefs and you're only going to do that in a shootout, yep, you might get knocked out with Jameis, but damn it, you got a puncher's chance. Is that the idea?
I mean, that's basically what it's about. I mean, think about it. Outside of last week, New Orleans Saints defense is one of the best, not the best in the league. So if you got a defense behind you, why not go with the guy who gives you the best chance, you know, of scoring more touchdowns? Because that's what it's really going to come down to. With the Kansas City Chiefs, you're not going to hold them down. We saw last week with the Kansas City Chiefs, they were down 10-0 in the first quarter. Fast forward to third quarter, they're up 30-10 against the Miami Dolphins, whose defense, by the
way, the road.
No slouch at all. On the road. So that's what you're going up against.
It's unbelievable. I don't think I've ever would seen a guy like Mahomes and the Chiefs seem to play cat and mouse with the NFL. Like, whether it's early in the season against the Chargers and they have to come back, or later in the season against the Bucks and they let them back into the game, or like we just said, they're down 10-0 on the road to a hungry Dolphins team with a really good defense. It feels like they can, you know, like what they used to say about the Lakers. Can the Lakers flip the switch in the playoffs? Like the Chiefs can flip the switch and just dust you.
Oh, Max, how many times have we seen that script from the Kansas City Chiefs where they just, you know, they toy with an opponent, toy, and then all of a sudden Mahomes is like, okay, it's time for me to turn up the turbo boosters, and they just automatically just start pulling away from you. They can beat you so many different ways offensively. They got the most talented throw of the football that, you know, maybe we've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe ever.
And then you got all the guys around him that you know, it's almost like a 4x1 team that they have assembled, or you know, skilled players around him. So that's what you're going up against every week when you play against the Kansas City Chiefs.
When I think of the greatest, everyone talks about triplets. When I think about the greatest quadruplets I've ever seen, both of them are on the Chiefs: Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and either Kareem Hunt several years ago or Clyde Edwards-Helaire today. Show me a quadruplets better than them at the skills position. I don't think it's ever been. What?
You'll be hard pressed to find better, man. It's, you know, they've done a great job in Kansas City of assembling talent, and then obviously it's not just about assembling talent. It's about, you know, can you coach them up and put them in the right scheme. And that's what Andy Reid has done, man. They've created a juggernaut out there, man. And they're going to be a problem for a lot of years.
Including for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as great a job as Tomlin did last year guiding them to a .500 record, never had a losing season, you know, without Roethlisberger. They were undefeated for a while. They had a pretty soft schedule. But, Damian, they had their schedule messed around by COVID. First the Ravens, they had to take their bye early. And then later on, when they were supposed to get their mini bye, the Titans, and then later on when they're supposed to get their mini bye, the Ravens, COVID, knocked out their mini bye. They just played four games in 19 days. You're supposed to have 28 days to play four games. They did it in 19. And I point out that in the last two, against Washington, an ascending defense, playing very well, and just this last game against the Bills, they had leads in both games. They were beating Washington by two touchdowns. They had an early lead against an elite AFC team in the Bills, and they're tired, so they give up the lead. I think Pittsburgh is being a little slept on right now. Where are you with the Steelers?
Listen, I think, like, I'm at a five. Like, everyone asks, like, where's the panic meter with the Steelers? I'm at a five because I think you made a good point about the scheduling conflicts that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had. Athletes are creatures of habit. We're used to doing things, you know, at a certain time, a certain way. And with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's basically been thrown all off. So, you know, that's part of the reason why I don't get too upset. I will say the one thing that kind of scares me with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they need some balance on offense. They need balance.
They don't get run blocking.
That's part of – you got to have some balance. Max, you know this. When you get into, you know, late in the year, postseason, you got to have some semblance of a running game. You got to have something like that. I think, you know, especially with Big Ben aging, you need to take some pressure off of them. They need to get the run game cranked up somehow, some way.
The great Damian Woody, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Wood, I just want to point something out. This is Damian Woody can bench press over 500 pounds. Think about that for a second. And yet small children have bullied him out of any place in his own house. He has to stay. Man can bench press 500 pounds, made tens of millions of dollars in the NFL, and he's confined to a tiny little space because small children have decided, Daddy, get over there. We want this space for us. Doing TV shows from the foyer of his corner of the bathroom.
No, I'm out. I'm out of there. I'm out of the hostage space. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm able to kind of stretch out a little bit more, Max.
All right. The great Damian Woody, ladies and gentlemen. See you on TV, Damian. Joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Another blow for my New York football Giants. And it's in a game they really got to win.
Max, the podcast.
Jason Garrett, former Cowboys coach, now Giants offensive coordinator, of course, tested positive for COVID-19. Wish him a speedy recovery, and hopefully he only has mild symptoms. Well, I'm not out of the woods in this stuff yet, folks. But tight ends coach Freddie Kitchens, of course, formerly the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, will be the offensive play caller versus the Browns. Which, look, do you think even that's a downgrade from Kitchens to from Garrett to Kitchens? I don't know. I don't know that I could say I'd rather have Garrett calling the plays than Freddie Kitchens. Meantime, the Giants players are working remotely with practice canceled. They're allowed to come into the facility for scheduled treatment. Daniel Jones, for example, who, by the way, before I get to Daniel Jones, COVID-19 testing is also taking place despite the change in the schedule due to protocols, as you would expect. Look, there's a vaccine. People are already being vaccinated, and there are lots of doses on the way and all of that. But, you know, it's not out of the woods yet. Anyway, the point is Daniel Jones hurt his right hamstring against the Bengals, right? Missed the Seattle game where Colt McCoy won. The Giants won with Colt McCoy under center. And then rushed back. Let's face it, he rushed back. It says good things about Daniel Jones that he wants to rush back. And Daniel Jones answers questions. You know, I get on Carson Wentz, and I used to get on Cam Newton, because when they answer questions, you go, I'm not trying to hear that. You guys don't, you either sound arrogant in the case, or petulant in the case of Carson Wentz, or you sound fake in the case of Cam Newton back in the day. Cam sounds good with Belichick. But what you really want in a quarterback is a guy who answers questions with those kind of like, aw shucks, football responses, right? A guy who doesn't have to stop and consider how the media or the fans will consume what he's going to say, but a guy who drank that team Kool-Aid when he was a kid and just bought in and now sounds like a football player, you know? Do you want to be starting? Do you think Colt McCoy should start? You know, Daniel Jones is all, I'm just preparing. My job is not to make those decisions. My job is to prepare as hard as I can and be ready when my number is called. Like that kind of stuff. The kind of Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck kind of football nerd, Peyton Manning football nerd response. Daniel Jones got that part. And Daniel Jones can move. And when he can move, he's a really good player. He's like a solid starting quarterback already, just about league average, and he's young still. But when he hurt his hamstring against the Bengals, they won with Colt McCoy against the Seahawks, the best team they faced recently. Daniel Jones comes rushing back to play the Cardinals, and he was terrible, because what we found out about Daniel Jones is when he can be mobile and use his legs, he's a pretty good quarterback. And when he can't, he's a dead duck. He's a sitting duck. He's not a kind of guy who's going to pick you apart from the pocket. Not at this point in his career, at least. Maybe he will be one day, maybe, but he ain't that now. And when speed is not part of his game, he looked awful. Now, who do you want coming up for the Giants against Cleveland? Cleveland's a beatable team. They're a good team. They're better than the Giants, but they're beatable. Who do you want playing that game? Do you want a hobbled Daniel Jones, who's no good to anybody as a sitting duck in the pocket? Or do you want Colt McCoy, who's a solid backup, who last time he started got a win against the Seahawks? I'm saying start Colt McCoy, and it's not even about the future. I don't think the question is, it's not a choice. Either start Daniel Jones and risk him going forward, your franchise quarterback, or maybe even jeopardize him for the playoffs, or start Colt McCoy and have a lower chance of beating the Browns. I actually think McCoy gives you the best chance to win on Sunday. I don't think it's a great chance. I mean, it's a pretty good, they have a chance to win with McCoy. They beat the Seahawks, they can beat the Browns. But Daniel Jones, when fully healthy, gives you a better shot. He's not fully healthy. Forget about jeopardizing Daniel Jones for later. For right now, the best option is Colt McCoy over a hobbled Daniel Jones. You have a chance to beat the Browns with Colt McCoy. And when Daniel Jones gets healthy, it'll be we have a chance to beat the Browns. But right now, since I don't know if we're going to win, it's you have the chance to beat the Browns. Raj, I don't like being all in unless I think we're going to win. I'm there through thick and thin, but not so much through thick. I like it when it's thin, a little better. Corey in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, when we talk about MVP, why not talk about Dak Prescott, even though he's not going to finish the season?
This is what
but
I
he
get.
Was putting up pretty good numbers, and when he left, he not only took the team's heart, but he also took the team's heart out of that locker room as
Corey,
well.
Corey, this is what I get for picking up a call from Texas. Corey, are you sitting here trying to tell me on national radio, it's also on ESPN+, are you trying to tell me that Dak Prescott should be in the MVP conversation? What, did he play 4 games this season? Do you see what Cowboys fans do? This is Corey, do you really think Dak Prescott should be in the MVP conversation? He's gone.
He led the team on the field, but he also led that team in the locker room. And you can tell without his presence, nowhere around the facility, that there's no
So what you're saying, Corey, is he could be an MVP if he would have played. That's what you're saying. And now that he didn't play, we can see his value. But Aaron Rodgers has a ton of value to Green Bay. You think Green Bay Packers would be winning any games with an average quarterback? And he's actually playing. Cowboys fans are completely, Stephen A. talks about this, delusional. They're totally delusional. Like Raj, for example, my producer in L.A., sitting there. I see him on the Zoom thing right now. He's delusional. He grows these mutton chops, and he thinks it looks good, obviously, whatever that thing is. Why don't you either connect the sideburns on the bottom, like to the goatee, or don't. No. What is that?
I'm trying to channel 1974. But what the caller was talking about, I'm a Cowboy fan. You know this. And remember, Dak was also 2-2 when he got hurt, you know, and they were also coming from behind in every game because there was a bunch of 3-and-outs and there were turnovers. Right. So, no, I mean,
you're channeling 1974. So you like the Lionel from the Jeffersons look?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm
I got to admit it. You know what? I don't know what I'm making fun of. It was a good look. It was a good look. That's right. William in Kansas City, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, appreciate you taking the call. Obviously, from Kansas City, I'm a little biased, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Rodgers is great, but 10-3. Look at those 3 losses. Bucks by 28. Kansas City went in there, and we all know what they did, put a hurting on them. Then the Vikings took them, a below 500 team. And then the Colts, who are led by old man Rivers. You're telling me Mahomes will lose those games? He's lost one game by 8 points.
But he may have lost them on
the last 400 days.
William, I think that's persuasively argued. In other words, even if Rodgers has the better overall numbers at this moment, and by the way, my prediction is Mahomes will have the best season by the time all is said and done, and he'll win MVP. But at this moment, I'm saying Rodgers has the best season because he's on the lesser team, but he has a higher completion percentage, a higher QBR, more touchdowns, and fewer interceptions. But you're saying that Mahomes hasn't had any awful performances. He hasn't been beaten soundly by teams he should have won. And while Rodgers may have compiled better numbers, when you look at each performance, you prefer Mahomes. I get that. I think that's that is persuasively argued. I would also say, if Mahomes was on Green Bay, they probably also have 3 losses. And if Rodgers was on Kansas City, they probably also have, what do they got now, 11 wins? 12 wins? They probably, like, Rodgers and Mahomes are extremely close. They're very comparable to one another. Where there is an edge, I agree with you, it probably goes to Mahomes. I think he's the best I've ever seen. I think he replaces Rodgers as the best I've ever seen. But that doesn't mean at this moment he's having a better season than Rodgers. I think Rodgers is slightly ahead, but I respect your argument. It's well-made argument. News from Max Kellerman Nation. William, just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. What do you think? Who's the MVP in the NFL right now? 888.
Max, the podcast.
Steve in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What you want to ask me?
Yeah, hey, Max. Great show. Before I give you my vote, might be for Derrick Henry for MVP. I think he's got to be considered the way he's playing. But the other comment I make as a long-suffering Giants fan is, how did they go into Seattle and win on the road and then come home and lose to a team that lost 4-5? The only game they won was on a Hail Mary against Buffalo and get spanked at home. They do it to us all the time.
Well, number one, Arizona was desperate. Number two, and I think desperate teams can be dangerous to play. Number two, when Daniel Jones does not have his wheels, you see that he's not where he needs to be in the pocket to be an effective quarterback. But when he does have his wheels, the threat of him on the move can keep teams honest enough that he becomes a more effective passer. You know, think of him as you know, Lamar Jackson-like. Dwayne in Maryland, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Max?
What's up, Dwayne?
First, I'd like to say I like Derrick Henry for MVP.
By the way, you're the second person who's brought up Derrick Henry now in a row. Here's my problem with Derrick Henry as MVP. Casey Joyner, the football scientist, appears on this show regularly. What I mean to say is regularly. Anyway, he brings up run blocking. It's about run blocking. Like, if Derrick Henry didn't get good run blocking, he wouldn't be putting up numbers. He did, and he's excellent, so he does. But MVP over Rodgers and Mahomes and Russell Wilson and these guys? I don't know. What else you got?
Yes, I also wanted to say, as you've been a longtime Giants fan, and you followed Eli for 20 years or so, and he had a lot of bad years, wouldn't you say? Why are you so hard on Carson Wentz? And
when here's the thing.
Carson Wentz after one season.
Here's the thing. It's not after one season. Number one, Eli didn't have a lot of bad years until he got old. When he was in his prime, he was always at least solid average, if not a tick above, until the playoffs when he became Superman, right? Carson Wentz, I was very high on. I was holding him to a high standard because I thought he was the MVP until he got hurt that year. They won the Super Bowl. Nevertheless, he did get hurt, and Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. And the next year, he regressed a bit, coming back from injury. And they were 5-6, but when Nick Foles took over, they caught fire, made the playoffs, and won a playoff game on the road. Should have won against the Saints, too. And then the following year, Carson Wentz is getting all this credit for being good, but I see him regressing more and badly in the second half, and I said it continually on the air, on First Take. Wentz is regressing. Everyone told me I was crazy. And now this year, he's terrible, and it's because they never fixed him. Because people like you, Dwayne, you're the culprit here, have been making so many excuses for him. They were lucky to win against a putrid NFC East. And when I say lucky, I mean he'd fumble on third down in the fourth quarter and they happened to recover the ball. And this is against awful teams. But all he could hear is the fans talking about how great he is and the pundits how great he is. He needed to fix himself from the ground up, but he never did. And now it's too late. He's entitled. He's spoiled. When coach benches him, he pouts. He doesn't say the right things. He didn't work on anything, not seriously. He kept making the same mistakes. When he was called on it, he said, well, it's just the way we do things around here. I'm just being real with you. And by the way, I was real with Eli early on. When he would mess up early in his career, I would say it. But, you know, when you win two Super Bowl MVPs, you know, the best ability availability, Eli Manning was NFL Iron Man for many years. He had the consecutive games played streak and two Super Bowl MVPs and beat Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre at Lambeau and beat Tony Romo in Dallas and beat everybody in the playoffs and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl twice. How dare you compare Carson Wentz to Eli Manning? James Harden spoke. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.